And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. No! Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Clone Trooper Tup succumbs to a mysterious mental illness that results in a shocking death of a Jedi Master. Anakin and ARC Trooper Fives and Rex accompany Tup, but their return trip is ambushed by Separatists. There will be... strap in, boys and girls, because it's a clone arc! Yeah! How you doing, Chris?
Good.
It's a clone arc! We got a clone arc!
I'm in completely alien territory, too.
Yeah, welcome to... one of my notes is, welcome to Netflix Clone Wars, where they punch that PG-13 hard.
Ah, yes, they do.
Man, there's a few times I was like, oh, I forgot that happened. Oh, this is brutal. Forgot all about that. Oh, God. So yeah, welcome to true PG-13 territory of Clone Wars.
Yeah, this might be some of the most violent Star Wars yet in this episode.
I thought about that because in our last two season wrap-ups, you've asked me, like, does it seem more violent or beheady? And I'm just like, and I was watching this episode, I was like, well, it's not beheady, but there's some dead troopers floating around.
There's some head trauma, though.
And then a couple things that had trauma. There's a Jedi that gets shot in the head, and poor baby Tup is going through stuff. And then
there's a guy who gets sucked out or blown out of his spaceship, and his helmet gets ripped off his head, and
his arms are like
space,
and his arms are in the air flying like he's on a roller coaster.
Yeah, the world's shortest roller coaster ride, right there.
He's like, yay! Oh.
Woo!
Yeah, it's a brutal one. So, how you doing? Did you have a good week?
Yeah, so far so good.
That's good.
The weather's been crappy, but we even had a good day at garage sailing, even with the weather gray and dingy. I got a whole 135 Simpsons comics from the UK in a box.
That's cool.
Yeah. They're sort of like exactly like American Simpsons comics with different covers and bigger and on glossy paper, super glossy paper.
Like you could signal space from space glossy?
Yeah, I tried to take pictures of them and it was hard to even do that because the light was just like glaring off them.
Mm. Yeah, what did I do today? I was reading about the Lavender Town Syndrome, which is a Pokemon creepypasta internet lore video. So I was reading about that because in the very first generation of Pokemon, there's a place called Lavender Town. And it's where when your Pokemon dies, they get buried there. It's pretty much just based on, like, it's a graveyard, pretty much. Well, the creepypasta thing is the music, and the creepypasta that started because of it was that kids in Japan, because of like a certain undertone beat to it and stuff like that, like caused a bunch of children to kill themselves. And of course, it's not real. It's all creepypasta. So it was just made up, but it's called the Lavender Town Syndrome. So I was reading about that today and I was like, hey, cool. Also, the new Wreck-It Ralph trailer dropped today, and it was amazing, and I was so happy, because just to have the part with Vanellope with all the princesses, where they're like, you're a princess? Have you ever been poisoned? Do you have magic hair? Can you make ice come out of your hands? And she's like, no, I don't do any of that. And they're like, we're not sure if you're really a princess. And finally one goes, were you saved by a man that was unnecessary? And she's like, yeah, that happened to me. And they're like, you're a princess. I was like, yay, Disney. Oh, there was actually stormtroopers. Because they go into the internet, and because it's a Disney movie, Vanellope looks up and there's like a Marvel section and a Star Wars section. And at one point she gets chased by First Order troopers. So there's a Star Wars connection in the new Wreck-It Ralph trailer.
That's funny. I've got a video game, internet, Clone Wars connection, right here. Garage Sailing. I got what is the Disney online game thing that's defunct now that had the little.
Is it? Oh,
it was like Disney Connect or something like that, or Infinities.
I would have known it if they had the little toys.
It was Infinities, Disney Infinities.
Disney Infinity. That's exactly what it is.
I got the Disney Infinities starter set. So it's a box. It's got the game and stuff in it, but it came with the Anakin and Ahsoka figures.
Oh, cool!
So, and it was $2 at a garage sale. They had a stack of them.
I'm so mad because I always wanted to play that game, but I never had the system to play it on. And I heard it, they were ending, and I was like, "Son of a bitch!"
Scott McGregor was telling me you can't even play it now, right?
I don't know that.
It was only online. Yeah, I don't know that either. But that would really suck if it did. I didn't buy it. I don't have an Xbox to play it online with anyway. If I had it, but I just got it because the Anakin and Ahsoka figures are great. She's got her two lightsabers like crossed behind her back.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat.
That's so cool. But yeah, and then I started watching a new Game Grumps series because it's me, which is they're playing House Party, which is apparently an absolutely awful game where you're at a house party and you're trying to pick up girls and stuff, but there's a couple douchebag guys there. And the second episode, they just kept getting punched out and quote-unquote killed by the other guys. And they were like, this is really intense for a dating simulator. Oh, my God. Well, you know, we were talking before, guys, that Chris was surprised that there's not 10 pages to these notes.
Yeah, as soon as I started watching this, I'm like, oh my god, this episode is Clonorama. It's, yeah, and you were sort of warning that this season was just chock full of clones.
But a lot of this one episode is just a lot of setup. Because, like, really not a lot happens. There's a big thing in the beginning, and then it's like running around the rest of the episode trying to find Tup.
Not a lot of things happen, but boy, the setup is a lot of implications are opened up in this episode for sure.
Oh, just wait. It gets better. Oh, man, yeah. I can't remember. No, Grievous is not in this arc, so.
Oh.
I know he's in the season.
He is in the season? Oh, goody.
I think so.
I hope so. General. I hope I haven't seen the last of my Greavy.
I'm relatively certain he is in the season. Here, let's check right fast. I'm just gonna take a look at the contents of the Wikipedia and scroll down to appearances and scroll down that. And, oh, he's in Utapau. I'm a big fat liar. He's not in the season, but he's in... He's in the first arc of the unfinished episodes that we still need to watch, too. I'm excited for those. I haven't seen those yet. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get to those.
We'll get to see Stick Figure Greavy.
It's going to be a lot of fun, too, because, yeah, for one, it's unfinished, and it's all on StarWars.com, but I haven't watched those episodes. I know the basic premise of one of the arcs, but I've read up on some of it, but I've never actually seen it with them just kind of pushing cardboard cutouts around.
Yeah, I've seen a few little things of it, and it's just like, ooh, this is rough.
It's gonna be rough. But it's canon, so we're gonna cover it on Jagas and Jedi, and we can make fun of it too. It's gonna be fun. I can't wait. Well, you ready to get started?
Let's get into it.
All right. The Unknown is the 109th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on March 7, 2014, when all of Season 6 was dropped on Netflix. So all of Season 6 is going to have the exact same release date. It was written by Katie Lucas, who we love here on the show, and directed by Bosco Ng. Some extra information for you. Originally intended to be part of a full 22-episode season, 13 episodes of The Lost Mission, a.k.a. Season 6, was completed following the series' retraction from Cartoon Network in March 2013. Following the announcement of an executive licensing agreement with Disney and ABC Television Group, Netflix released The Lost Missions on March 7, 2014, nearly almost to the date a year later, exclusively to audiences in the United States and Canada. Master Tipley and Tiplar, voiced by Anna Graves, who is our lovely voice actor for Mrs. Duchess Satine. Ringo Venda, with the planet shown at the beginning of the episode, was based on concept artwork for a ringed planet during production of Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. The characters of Tipley and Tiplar's designs were derived from concept artwork by Ian McCraig, and for a female Sith Lord that was cut from Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. And I was trying to think, I was like, wow, they want to bring a Sith Lord in Attack of the Clones? That's possibly not Dooku? That would have been awesome.
That would have been cool. A female Sith Lord, too.
Oh, you should see the concept artwork. It's like dark and blue, and their tentacles all have these like little balls at the end. It looks awesome, man. The Clone Commander Doom's design was derived from the Marvel comic villain Dr. Doom. The episode featured an upcoming design, an updated designs of the B2RP battle droids, resembling the female Zentradi power armor from the animated series Robotech. And this episode also marks the first appearance of Admiral Trench, the evil, gross-looking spider guy who has not been seen since Cat and Mouse back in Season 2. And I remember you liked the spider guy, and as I was watching them, I remember you going, man, I really like this spider guy, and I was like, he's back in Season 6, and you were like, yay!
He's not just spider guy. He's the $6 million spider guy.
Yeah, we'll make him back. I actually do remember that because you were like, oh, he blew up. I really liked him. And I'm like, don't worry, Chris. He's back in Season 6. And you were like, is he an android? And I was like, yes, he is. And you were like, yay, he's going to be a cyborg.
All right. Can you hear my neighbor mowing their lawn?
That's okay. My redneck neighbors are roaming around in RVs and whatever. Not an RV, but those little four-wheeler things in our cul-de-sac. Yeah. Because that's what they... And their godforsaken truck is louder than the devil and having sex.
And that godforsaken truck is louder than the devil.
Having sex. No, this truck has woken me up before at 6 a.m. with me inside the house. That's how loud this goddamn truck is. Oh, my God. You know who's also loud as the devil having sex at 6 a.m.? Yeehaw, yo, how you doing today? I can't believe I'm from the South and I do a terrible Southern accent.
Ready to get out of this godforsaken swamp, Yoda is.
I wrap my four-wheeler through my truck, going to see all the lady frogs, and I'm like, look at my ribs! And they're all like, ooh, Yoda.
Have case of athlete's claw. And Jedi itch. Bad case of Jedi itch.
I don't know. Athlete's claw felt like a little bit of a stretch, but I'll give it to you. That was good.
Stretch.
Oh, man. All right, Yoda. I like this platitude this week. What's the platitude?
The truth about yourself is always the hardest to accept. In bed.
I know. Sometimes you realize you're not as flexible as you thought you were, mm-hmm. And you're just like, ow, that's a cramp in my butt.
Sad is that platitude.
Oh, what's the truth, Yoda? Tell me the truth. You're not really a tripod?
Yoda does not accept the truth. You cannot handle the truth.
I think the truth is, because I remember very
literally, legally, you're not allowed to handle the truth.
Okay, not a tripod.
Court said nobody's able to handle the truth.
I was just waiting to see if you kept going with it. I was like, if I just sit here, will he just keep talking?
Nope. On go the brakes.
All right, well, I'm going to take me a little sip of my coffee from my Christmas Star Wars cup that my best friend got me.
Now, is it a Christmas-themed Star Wars cup, or is it just a cup you got for Christmas?
It's a little bit. I got it for Christmas, and it's done like an ugly sweater. Oh, so okay. It has stormtroopers and Vaders across one line, and it has TIE fighters across the other, and has lightsabers in between, and has AT-ATs all across the top. But it looks like it's been knitted in an ugly sweater. Mm. So, my lovely Star Wars Christmas cup. All right, Act 1.
Act 1.
On the planet of Ringo Vida, our heroes are fighting the Separatists for control of the planet. So, you know, just normal Clone Wars stuff is happening. They're on a space station that's just one big ring all the way around the planet. Anakin, with Jedi Master's sisters, Tipli and Teplar, are pushing a desperate attack to take back the space station. So my lovely 501st is here with Lex Luthor just showed up, guys.
Was Lex reading all the booze?
With Rex leading all my booze. I have a funny story about Batman when we're done, or after we finish Act 1. I'll get to that in a second. So do you guys remember back in Season 4, adorable baby Tup from the Umbara arc, who is precious, and he has a little man bun on his head, and he was a shiny, and he was the one that lured Krell over, and he was like, "Hey, Krell, come over here," and Krell was like, "I'm gonna kill you," and he runs over, and he gets eaten by a fly trap. Yeah, that was Tup. Because he's amazing, sweetie, and we're all rooting for you. He's here with his best friend forever, Fives, because Tup and Fives are friends now, and I want to see how they become friends, because Fives has lost so much. He's lost the entire Domino Squad, and I'm absolutely going off my notes now. Now I'm just gushing about clones. But Fives has lost all the Domino Squad, but apparently after Umbara, he made friends with Tups, and they're best friends now. Now I have to actually look at the document and see where I left off. Where am I? His best friend's forever Fives, who I've loved ever since he showed up in Season 1, Episode 1 of Rookies, and has become an amazing art trooper since then. My awesome boys. Well, Tup saves Fives' life from a droid, and they continue to battle forward. Anakin and the Cool Hair Sisters get to a meeting place where they assess the situation. They're fighting Admiral Trench, the horrifying spider monster from way back in Season 2 who got blown up. So now he's even more horrifying because now he's a cyborg spider monster. Well, Spider Guy has more reinforcements on the way, so the Jedi have to move quickly. Because Commander Dr. Doom's men are depleted, Anakin assigns Fives and Tups to go with them. As they are moving out, Tups seems to not feel like himself today. He keeps holding his head and blinking really fast, like the world's worst migraine. And when he sees Master Tiplar, he growls, "Jedi!" Just kidding. I just had to throw that in there. But Fives shakes him out of it, and they hurry to catch up with everybody else. Master Tiplar and Doom push forward with their men behind them, until they meet everyone else in the open hangar. Spider Monster Trench is on the other side of the hangar in a command center, watching and being just a gross person in general. But as the clones keep fighting, Tup is getting more and more distracted. He can't focus. He can't seem to notice anything other than Master Tiplar. And he starts saying a mantra of, "A good soldier follows orders. A good soldier follows orders. A good soldier follows orders." And he comes up behind Master Tiplar, and with no warning, shoots her in the head. And everything breaks down from there. Fives tackles Tup to the ground. Tipli is upset over her sister's death. Their forces are breaking apart. The droids are pressing them back. Anakin has no choice other than for them to fall back to base to regroup. Meanwhile, Spider Monster watches the replay of the Jedi getting gunned down, and he thinks Count Dooku will find that very interesting. He Skypes Dooku, who thinks this info is in fact very interesting, and he wants to look into it. So, to go back about Batman. So, I was bored the other day at work, right? And I was with Jim, and me and Jim were talking, and actually, a funny story about Jim. He was my manager when I was 16 at my very first job, and now I'm his manager. So funny story. Anyway, we were bored, and so we came up with the idea of Bruce Wayne Mall Cop, where Bruce Wayne is a mall cop, and he's just, and like Oracle is in charge of like telling him where to go, and all the Robins are part of like the security, and she's like, "Batman, there's a guy shoplifting at this store," and like Bruce Wayne gets on his bat segue and like races through the mall, and as the guy's trying to leave the store, he's like, a batarang comes out and he gets yanked up in the air, and Bruce Wayne's all like, you tried, you pay for those jeans. And then, like, from there, we started thinking about where everybody would work in the mall. And this is what we come at, up with. Cyborg is the Apple Store. Superman works at American Eagle. Flash is the best barista at Starbucks. There's never a line, and he just puts love in every cup, especially the Trickster's cup, because he knows that the Trickster, as we know from the animated show, needs some extra love, and Flash is the best barista. And then Wonder Woman is the mall manager, and Aquaman works at a Captain D's in a food court, and every time he, like, serves, like, a fish sandwich, he's just like, that's my friend! And all of the Lantern Corps is the janitor staff, so they never have to actually touch anything. They just pick up stuff with their lanterns.
You could probably get a comic actually made of that.
Yeah. And we kept going from there, like,
You could sell it on, like, a combination of Archie and superheroes.
Yeah, and because we started going, like, further, like Hot Topic is the easiest choice for Raven, so we were like, we need to find another choice other than Hot Topic, because that's just so easy. So
that's
like
where the Black Canary... No, the Black Canary works at, oh, what's the fancy underwear shop for ladies? Victoria's Secret!
But we said that, like, Starfire works at Claire's, and Beast Boy, actually being a nerd, probably works at GameStop, but... Jim disagrees. He thinks Riddler works at the GameStop. And Animal Man is the pet store.
Riddler would work at Radio Shack, I think.
We said either that or Spencer's.
Spencer's is better, yes.
But Ardmore has, like, a little train, like, for kids to ride in. Like, there's an old man that drives this little train around the mall for kids to ride in. And we said that's where the Joker works. So he'd be, like, driving around. He's like, Batman, one of these cars will explode in 30 seconds. And, like, Batman's...
I would say the Joker doesn't even work at the mall. He just hangs out in the food court with his bad guy friends.
Say what?
I would say Joker doesn't even work at the mall. He just hangs out at the food court with his friends.
No, but he has to drive. Who's going to drive the train?
I'm thinking.
This is what we do when we're bored at work. We just come up with ridiculous scenarios. Anyway, what do you think of Act 1?
I liked it. Once again, I think that there's been a step up in the animation. It's just a little crisper. And, man, it's just more warlike and brutal, you know? The first scene has this, or the first, like, act has this whole, like, sort of blue-green color to it. And it's just, it's just, like, Anakin doesn't have Ahsoka, so he's just sort of, there's nobody to temper him. He's just sort of angry and it's very martial. I mean, we've got Bionic Spider douches back.
There's a lot of, like, nice little moments, too. Like, there's one time, like when the three of Jedi are pushing through the temple, Master Tiplar is with Doom, and, like, they both, like, take out the rollyball droids, and yeah. They both look at each other, and they nod, and, like, they smile at each other. So there's just the way she did it, too. Like, she reaches through the shields and, like, lifts them up so her clones can roll out the little... EMP ball things. Like, there's just, like, a lot of, like, nice moments throughout the episode.
Yeah, it's a nice battle, but it's not as fun as it is just sort of, like,
it doesn't
brutal.
Feel fun.
No,
yeah.
it's serious and brutal. You know, the Jedis have just gone bad, now we just had a clone go bad, and I'm getting kind of suspicious that the clone went bad, that somewhere, you know, Palpatine was like, let me just, try Proto Clone 1 and see if he does it, you know, because you want to make sure Order 66 goes through when it goes through. So,
do you think it's less fun because Ahsoka's not here? Because she's always been, like, the kid anchor, you know, for, like, the younger audience, but now she's not there, so there's no anchor for that younger audience.
Yeah, it's more serious. It's more like a sort of gritty fighting commandos story in this one. I mean, that's part of the story too, but it's there's definitely
there's no bantering.
Huh?
There's no bantering. Anakin has no one to banter with.
No. It definitely has taken a turn for the more serious tone, you know, immediately in this, you know, right from the first scene. So, you know, right through the whole first act is pretty much some intense stuff. You know, it would have been more intense if we knew the Jedi twins better instead of just, you know, we just got introduced to them. But I think that's purposely. And I think, you know, when they came back with those two in the first scene, a lot of people might have been thinking, oh, maybe these guys are going to be the new Ahsoka for, you know, sort of serve Ahsoka's role for this season or something. And it's just like, nope, they're just sort of a story element for the early Order 66 clone.
Mm-hmm.
At least so far they are.
Yeah.
I don't know, I thought it came in really strong. That's about all the notes I got for it, though.
My first note is a terrible joke, which is, I wonder if the planet was called Ringovinda, because they built it before they built the ring around a space station around the planet.
I really hope this is a Beatles tribute.
But my more serious note, I like the idea of this space station just being a ring around the planet, and like they're fighting for control of this ring. So like the Separatists are in one half of it, and the good guys are in the other half of it, and they're just fighting over this ring. And it's a really cool design. Like there's one shot in Act Two where, or maybe it was Act Three, where you see the blockade, the Republic blockade, and they're just on one side of the planet.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a really cool design for a space station we've yet to see. And at first it looks tiny, but like when you get up close to it, you realize it's huge. It's just a really neat design.
Yeah, it's got a diameter larger than a planet. So
yeah,
that's humongous.
I was just imagining, like, you know, I've never seen Snowpiercer, but I know the basic premise of it. Like, you could, like, keep an entire population of people there, and, like, you would never see anybody on the other side of the ring ever in your entire lifetime. And then I was thinking about how long would it take you to walk all the way around the ring until you start over again. I thought dumb things during this episode. It's fine.
It would be more than walking around the planet, because it's a far away from it, and the diameters, yeah, would be immense. But there's also been, you know, scientists who've predicted in the future this would be a way to build space stations or build, you know, something around a planet to augment the planet. So it's actually a very, like, sort of sound science fiction idea. And it looks neat. It looks like Saturn's rings, sort of.
But like, there's people instead of, you know, ice and stuff. It's just such a cool design for a planet, and I really like it. I also really like the design of Commander Doom. I think Dave Filoni is actually a big Doctor Doom fan, because I remember watching one of the behind the scene videos, and they were in Dave Filoni's office, and I know there's a small statue of Doom sitting on his desk. So I think he's actually a fan of Doctor Doom, because I know he, I don't know if he has it now, but in one of the behind the scene videos, there's a Doctor Doom statue on his desk. So I think he's a fan. And I also think Master Tipley and Tiplar are really cool. I like their designs. I agree. I wish we had seen them sooner, but I just know that they were designed for the beginning of the season, and they're really, really cool. And I like their little tendril-y things and how
their underwater hairdo. Basically,
that's always moving and stuff, and I think that they're really cool aliens that we haven't really seen before. I really like it. And my one serious note: what's so sad and chilling about this opening act is seeing how Order 66 actually affects our lovely clone babies, because they're pretty much being mind controlled. Because like we know Top, like we know. We saw Tup on Umbara, and he was just very lovable, and he was innocent. Like, he was so excited. He was just like, it's my first battle, sir! We're here! And then, like, as like when you know, what was it? It was Dogma. Dogma was like, Tup, what are you doing? He's like, I'm not doing anything, Dogma. They're not planning dissent. They're not going to rise up against Krell, I promise. And, like, he was just so sweet. And, like, just the moment that, like, the Order 66 side of him clicks in, he just turns into a cold machine. Like, it's just like, there's the Jedi, sneak up, kill it. And it's just really sad because he, like, in that moment, he's no different from a droid. He's not like the cute little adorable innocent baby that he was in Act Two and Season Four.
Have you seen the Manchurian Candidate?
I have not.
It's pretty much like either version of the Manchurian Candidate movie, the old Frank Sinatra and the new one, with Denzel. Well, that's what it was about. It was about somebody who was programmed to shoot a politician who was a military guy. In the original one, he was, you know, captured by, I think, the Vietnamese, or somehow ended up in a Chinese place where they implanted, you know, when he heard a certain word, it triggers him into a state where he is, you know, a robotic killer. So this is Order 66 itself is a strong reference to the Manchurian Candidate, I'm sure. So this was very similar to it, where, you know, you could see something in his brain was, you know, changing, and, you know, his normal state brain was fighting it a bit, and it was basically changing the enemy, you know. So basically, he could have been probably the same clone, except now just Jedi take the same place in his mind that the droids did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
Separatists did.
But it just makes it, like, so sad and chilling, because, like, you know, that's what we always say that is one of the best parts of Clone Wars, because it makes, like, Order 66 more impactful.
Well, and now you know what was happening with every single clone in Order 66.
And we get to see it, like, firsthand of, like, how it affects them, which is something we didn't really get to see before. Because even, like, you know, even when we see Order 66 in the movie, almost all the clones are wearing helmets and stuff like that. So we don't get to – but, like, in this one, we get to see Tup's face and, like, seeing him struggle against it. It's very hard to watch to know that, like, God, it would have killed me if it was, like, Rex or something. I'm glad it wasn't Rex.
That would have been really going for the throat in the first act of the first season.
Even if it was like someone like Fives, because we've had Fives since season one, like, we've seen him developing, and like, even though he's not as developed as, say, Rex, like, he is probably one of the more named clones of the series that we know of.
I totally don't think this is just his brain going off. Accidentally, I think it's a test, and I think if they were going to test one, they'd test someone like Tup, who's not quite as, like, integrated in as Fives or Rex, because they would gather more attention, mm-hmm. you know, as a turncoat, whereas Tup is just sort of, is a younger clone, and, you know, so I totally think this is a test of Order 66.
I can see, like, Palpatine just being like, okay, we need a test clone. They're like, well, what about Rex? And he's like, which one is Rex again? He's like, it's Anakin's clone. He's like, no, not Anakin's clone.
Right,
he'll
right.
find us.
Right,
he will
right.
find us,
exactly.
and he will kill us.
Exactly. Anakin and Obi-Wan are, you know, and Cody, too, is, like, closer to Obi-Wan. So, you know, it would be the perfect one to test him on, and they've already done sort of a, you know... It just goes along with the first dry run with, you know, suspected dry run, as we've discussed with Krell. Mm-hmm. So this is just the next step. Palpatine's, you know, gearing up for episode 3.
Yep. And the only other note that I have, when Dooku was talking to Trench, and Trench was like, well... You know, it seemed like this clone was a traitor, and Dooku was like, well, that's not unheard of. I was like, that's a nice callback to the traitor clone Slick, and I think season one, might be season two, but I'm pretty sure it was season one, just because we know that there has been traitor clones before, too, so.
Right. Traitor. I thought you said traitor clones. I'm like, that sounds like a grocery store.
Trader Clones. That's where I get all my organic food that's free, whatever.
Well, it's all clone food at Trader Clones. And when you're done with it, you push order 66 and it goes bad.
Oh, no. Oh, that's all I have for Act 1. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm ready to go into Act 2.
All right, Act 2. Back at the base, Anakin is looking for answers on why Tup shot down Master Tiplar. Tup doesn't seem to know what Rex is talking about. He keeps falling back into a trance, repeating over and over, "A good soldier always follows order, a good soldier always follows orders." And Fives looks super worried for his best friend, while the medic clone Kick's looking him over. Tup doesn't seem to see any of them, but when his eyes fall on Master Tiplee, he says, "Kill the Jedi," and lunges at her. She holds him back with the Force and not so gently sets him back down again, but granted, he did just gun down her sister. Anakin orders to get Tup back to a medical bay. Meanwhile, Dooku is Skyping Papa Palpatine and is like, "Dude, all of our hard work might get ruined because poor baby Tup is having a meltdown." And Palpatine is like, "Bro, Tup is precious, but we need to capture him. If the truth is found out, we won't have Episode 3. Go get him, bro." And Dooku sets out to capture Tup. In the medical bay, Tup has no memory of murdering Master Tiplar. He starts freaking out, begging Fives to help him, and a med droid sedates him. Kix has no answers for what's happening. All of Tup's scans are normal. All he can come up with is possibly battle-stress-induced event that happened, and Rex is like, "We are perfect. We don't mess up." But even Rex isn't immune to PTSD, as we see in Rebels Way in the Future. Anyway, they don't have any answers for any of this from Tup's end. But Master Tiplee says it could be something else, like a virus or a parasite. There's been rumors the Separatists have been trying to make some biological weapons that only affect clones. This could possibly be the result of that. Kix says that they're not equipped to search for that kind of virus on the Republic ship. They're going to have to send Tup back to Kamino for examination. In the hangar bay, poor Fives is trying to get through to his precious brother, saying that they will have drinks soon, and they'll laugh about this when it's over. But Tup is repeating the old mantra over and over, like Fives isn't even there. They load up Tup on a shuttle and take off, but before they can jump into hyperspace, the Separatists attack the ship. The shuttle is overwhelmed by buzz droids and commando droids, blowing all the clone pilots out into space. The clones inside with Tup arm themselves as the shuttle is dead in space. The droids invade, killing all the clones and taking the unconscious Tup. I just realized something, though, as I was reading this, because when Tup is, like, in a trance and he's looking everywhere, he looks at Anakin a few times, and, like, when they had that head-lolling scene where we're seeing what Tup is seeing.
I noticed that, too.
But when he sees Master Tiplee, that's when he's like, "Ah, Jedi!" So I'm wondering if it's because he killed her sister and that was the first Jedi he focused on and they look kind of alike, that he recognized her as the possible Jedi, not Anakin?
Maybe. Because it could have just been an oversight, too. I don't know, but it was kind of weird.
But I also wonder if, like, that's also Tup fighting the programming, because he's
right.
Fought under Anakin.
He's all messed
he knows
up.
Anakin.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, he trusts Anakin and he knows Anakin, so that could be him fighting the programming, but he doesn't know Master Tiplar, Tiplee. So he's just like, "Oh, it's a Jedi, kill it." But he's like, "Anakin, friend."
Yeah, I also thought of this while you were reading the story of this is, why do they want to capture him? Just kill him. Just blow him up, you know, that you don't, they don't need him. It seems they're going to way too, too much effort, you know, to, I don't know, unless there's something going
I'm
going to
go ahead. I'm going to answer this for you now without any spoilers. There's a reason they can't kill him.
Okay.
There is a reason why they can't kill him.
Okay. Cause I was thinking it would be easier just to, like, blow up the ship than capture him and stuff. Just shoot him in the head, you know, blow up his head and you're.
Yeah.
Well, good. I was kind of disappointed because I was like, "Oh, I want to see Kamino again. I'd like to see more of Kamino."
I promise you, it's coming. You're about to get a lot of Kamino.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, I promise you, it's coming.
Okay, I only got a couple other notes besides that is I was very surprised that Dooku is in on Order 66 or appears to be in on Order 66. I would have really thought that was something that I was really more thinking that, you know, Palpatine's keeping almost everything close, you know, hidden from everybody else. So I was kind of surprised that Dooku is in on 66 being the dupe that he is.
That gets answered too this season.
Mm. And the ship they're transporting Tuppen, totally from certain shots and certain angles, looks like a Battlestar Galactica fighter ship.
You know, the ship that attacks them is the same ship that we saw in the Saul Guerrera arc, which was inspired by Battlestar Galactica Cylons. Remember? Because that was like the face.
That's the Cylons, but this looks like the Battlestar Galactica ships.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
They have the sort of they have the sort of tri-wing that, you know, one top fin and then two on the side that are sort of aimed down a little at like 45 degree angles.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like an Imperial shuttle, but it was like an elongated Imperial shuttle, and when you start stretching it out, it starts looking like a Battlestar Galactica ship. I can't remember the name for them, but that's all I got for this part.
Yeah.
Again, it's kind of brutal.
It really is. Actually, I'll go ahead and address my first note, which was what I said in the beginning. Welcome to Clone Wars on Netflix, where they punch the PG-13 ratings real good.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking about it. I was like, God, what if the entire series had been on Netflix and it was like this the entire series?
I still don't think it would have been like this. I still think they would have ramped it up slowly, you know, like they did.
I really do think Ahsoka helped a lot because she was that younger audience. I think that like she really was like the linchpin to keep it a little bit on the, I don't want to say on the younger side, but she was like the check-in point for her to be like, Anakin, calm down.
Yeah,
like,
right.
But he has no moral compass now to like guard him because I think there are certain times where Rex is like, no, I shouldn't say anything. He's in a rage. He's Harry Potter book 5 right now, and I don't want to touch that. Well, for my notes, a little bit of the second act, when Top wakes up and he's like, they're like, dude, you killed Master Tiplar, and he's like, no, I didn't. What? Why did I do that? It actually reminded me a little bit of the Kanan comics, because there's a clone that Kanan was friends with called Gray. And I don't remember if he's a commander, though. But Gray was his friend, and when Order 66 happened, he killed Depa Bialba. But then later in the comics, a few issues later, he starts fighting against that programming and questioning Order 66, and he actually asks the other clones, he's like, was that the right thing to do? And they're like, of course it was the right thing to do. They're the enemy. We need to kill Caleb Doom. And Gray was like, I don't think so. So it reminded me a little bit of that. I feel like the only difference is that Gray remembered Order 66, and this time around, Tup does not remember Order 66, like killing Master Tiplar, which could be the fact that he's the first clone doing this, because we've seen in a lot of the comics so far other clones. And the clones, like, say, in the Darth Vader comic or in the Kanan comic, they're post-Order 66 clones, and almost every one of them, with the exception of Gray, is just like, yeah, the Jedi should have died. They suck. We remember killing them, and it was awesome. So I find it interesting in this situation with Tup, he has no memory of doing it.
Yeah, you would think it would be a little different for everybody, I guess, since we've been seeing how different all the clones are, you know, how much variation there is amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe, like, when Order 66 happened, a lot of the clones that questioned it or resisted it might have ended up getting killed because they were messed up and not fighting well.
that actually is a sub thing. I can't remember if it was Pablo or Dave, but they were doing an interview with fans at one of the celebrations, or maybe it was New York Comic Con, and somebody asked about that, like, about clones that didn't participate. And there's a sub-order in 66. If you tried to save the Jedi, you were killed by your brothers because you were a traitor.
Right. So, yeah, that's true, too. And So, yeah, a lot of them might have just been, like, not made it more than a couple minutes after Order 66.
Yeah. I also just feel so bad for Fives. My baby, he's trying so hard to get through to his friend, and he's already lost Echo, and he lost all the Domino Squad, and, like, Tup is his last real-life living friend other than Rex, and now Tup is slowly getting lost, too, and he's just trying... He's so worried. Like in the scene where Tup is looking around, there's a shot of Fives' face, and he's the only one that looks, like, absolutely scared of what's happening. And then, like when Tup is in the medical thing, and he's, like, trying to talk to him, he's like, Tup, it's okay, it's fine. He's, like, holding his hand, and then, like, when they're loading Tup into the thing, he's like, we're gonna have drinks soon, man, it's gonna be awesome! And he's just trying, so, baby, you're trying, Gold Star, I believe in you,
Fives. Drinks are coming.
I believe in you, Fives. Oh, my baby. I love you.
No drinks for Tups.
Yeah, I know. But then, as they were, like, loading Tup onto the shuttle to leave, I realized, like, a lot of the clones were watching. And, like, even when they're discussing it in the hallway, there's clones guarding the door. And, like, when they're talking about, like, yeah, there might be a clone virus, the clones, like, looked over at them. And, like, God, this has to be such a scary moment for all of them because they don't know what's happening. They know one of their brothers just killed a Jedi, and now there might be a virus running around to kill them all. God, that's got to be super scary for all of them.
Yeah, because especially, like, knowing the way the Kaminoans are, they could just, like, be like, oh, the clones have a virus, put them all in this box, and we're going to, you know, vaporize them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at 99s. I mean, he was the Kaminoans, like, accidentally made him malformed, and their, like, mercy was making him the janitor.
Yeah, letting him live.
I'm going to bring it up at the end of this arc, but I just have to go back to that webcomic that's complete now called Star Wars Destinies, and it stars Slick the Traitor Clone. Now I can say Ahsoka, because it's Ahsoka after she's left the Order, and it also has Tup in it. And I can't recommend it enough, guys. It's so good, because there's a whole entire, like, opening scene on Kamino that just breaks my heart every time. But now I can actually, like, super recommend it, because now Ahsoka has left the Order, and I didn't want that to be a spoiler.
Right.
But now I can, so yay!
The cat is out of the bag.
I know, I'm so excited. And it has Tup in it, too. And he's having to, like, deal with the fact that he's, like, done this. And, oh, it's great. I love it. Oh, Star Wars Destinies is such a good comic. I'm so sad it's over now. But that's all I have for Act 2.
All right, you want to wrap her up?
Let's wrap it up and stick a bow on it.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Act 3. Anakin, Fives, and Rex investigate the medical shuttle attack. Normally, it wouldn't make sense to have an attack like this, but they start to realize that the droids were after Tup. They check out the shuttle, with all the dead clones floating around, and they see that Tup's restraints have been cut, which means that he was the target. Spider Monster Trench tells Dooku that he has Tup, and Dooku wants Tup alive under all circumstances. Anakin, Fives, and Rex jump out of a shuttle just short of a Separatist hangar bay, and they spacewalk the rest of the way to go undetected. They spy into the hangar where there's like 100,000 droids or whatever, I don't know, there's a lot of them, and a bunch of starfighters. But they also see Tup getting loaded onto the shuttle. And Anakin's like, yeah, we can take them. And Rex is like, dude, you're gonna need some miracle parkouring if you're gonna take these guys on. And Anakin is like, ugh, don't tell me what to do, Obi-Wan, dad. And Rex is like, Obi-Wan's your dad? I'm not going to touch this. And Fives shows off why he has survived past rookies and Umbara to become an ARC trooper when he pulls out his grappling gun. And they shoot the ship with the grappling guns as it passes, and they climb on the outside. And our heroes fight their way inside and take back the ship. They check Tup, and Fives says that his precious, adorable best friend is dying, and I cry some more. And they have to get Tup to Kamino fast. After their first failure, Anakin assigns Rex to go to Kamino with Tup, and Fives volunteers to go too, because Tup is his best friend. And Rex is like, dude, this isn't like what happened with Krell. We're not stealing any Umbara ships, we're not taking Jesse and going on joyrides, this has to be by the book. And Vise is like, ugh, fine, you suck the joy out of everything. And they hop on a ship and they set out for Kamino. The end. What'd you think of Act 3?
I don't have a lot of notes for this. I thought it was a really cool act.
I like the really tight, like, close quarters fight that they have on the ship that's in one hallway.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then it just sort of opens up into the pilot droids.
The pilot droids are great, man, when they're like, sir, we've experienced drag in the vacuum of space. Yeah, it was weird, but it's fine now.
The way they portray weightlessness in this is awesome.
Yes.
There's the battle where they, you know, they cut the gravity and the troopers have to hit their magnetic shoes. And then
there's one that doesn't have the magnetic shoes, so he's just kind of floating there and he's trembling and shaking as he's like waiting for the droids to come.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's a scene where they're outside and they're just sort of walking along the top, you know, the surface of the spaceship. But you could tell they're like trained. They're walking in a weird way because they're using the weightlessness and they're using the magnetism of their boots. So it's just a really weird sort of physics to it. But they,
that's actually one of my notes, because there's that moment where they look like they're right side up, but then you realize they're actually underneath it, and the camera pans over the corner with them.
Yes.
It's a really cool shot.
And all the perspective of space and the ships behind them is changing. It was just a really beautiful, neat shot, and they were doing those long, weightless steps. It was just really cool looking. My only other note is, man, I really like Katie Lucas as a writer. You know, I forgot that you'd mentioned that she wrote this one last week, and I saw, you know, in the end credits, I saw, you know, written by Katie Lucas. I was just like, man. And this is the first Katie Lucas one, really, that's just sort of a normal, you know, it's not a kind of supernatural or...
Yeah, because she did all the Night Sister stuff.
All the Night Sister stuff, and she did stuff that was more kind of fantasy-like, and this is definitely not like that at all. This is... cold, gritty, you know, dealing with cold, gritty reality, and it's really good. So, I dig Katie Lucas's contribution to the show. You know, she probably would have been a big pet peeve of ours, I think, if she was a terrible writer and it was just like, George Lucas's daughter coming in and, you know, getting a nepotism job. But no, she does a really good job, and it's very Star Warsy. I'm always happy to see her name on an episode.
Okay, I couldn't remember if she did the Mortis arc or not, because that was about as fantasy as this ever got, and she doesn't. We blame Christian Taylor for that. Because that was about as fantasy as it's gotten. But yeah, I mean, she did handle pretty much any of the Asajj Ventress episodes.
Didn't she do the one where R2 and 3PO had to go into the underground world where the gas was coming up from the underground world?
I don't know. I know.
To think that might have been one of hers, but it might not. It might have just been. I might be.
I can look it up right fast. It was called Nomad Droids. That was
no,
not...
that wasn't Nomad Droid. Nomad was it? Oh, maybe it was.
She didn't do either of them.
Oh, okay.
But she did do. I think Bounty was one of hers. Bounty. And that was when Ventress was on the train. Yeah, that was when Ventress was on the train and.
Right. Yes, she did. That one was very fanficky, but good.
Yeah, because it had the Final Fantasy guy.
Yeah. Right. And Poison Ivy.
That was Katie Lucas. Yeah. So she pretty much did all the Ventress episodes and the Night Sisters episodes. So this is really her first real thing with like, here's Anakin and Rex.
Yeah.
Go for it.
It's very good.
Well, for my notes, God, when they get to that shuttle and the clones are just floating everywhere, oh, it's so creepy. And as everything's just red from the emergency lights, I mean, even the battle is creepy, and then they get there and they're all dead, and oh, it's just a just a creepy, creepy scene. I can't say creepy enough, but it's creepy.
Yeah, and usually you just see, like, clones or people in space. There's faces on the people floating around in this one, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was Rex or Fives, but, like, one comes over and, like, touches his arm and turns him, and then he lets him go, and the guy just keeps turning until we see his face. I was just like, oh, no! Stop it! Guys, Clone Wars maker guys, stop it. I don't want to see dead clones floating everywhere. Look. Actually, and because we talked about the physics of the spacewalk was awesome, so the only other note I have is about Fives. And it's just, you know, like when he comes up with the idea for the grappling hook and Rex goes, that's why he's the ARC trooper. It's just a bit more of like Fives' character development to see where he's come from. Because, I mean, if this was Fives back in Rookies, he wouldn't have the confidence or the skill level to whip out a freaking grappling gun to jump on a ship. Like, that's just not who he was in Season 1. And so, like, here in Season 6, like, he just has that ingenuity that the 501st has given him. And it just makes him so good. And, like, just to know, like, if we seeing him here and if we went back and watched Rookies now, he'd just be a completely different person back then. So I love just how they've have slowly developed him over time and the fact that we've got to see it this entire time. And I think he's even a little bit different from who he was on Umbara, which was the last big time that we saw him. And so I love Fives. Him and Rex are like my two favorite clones for completely different reasons. Like they interchange that depending on the episode. And I love Fives. I love seeing where he's been and seeing where he is now. So, and I hope you like Fives too, because we're about to get a whole lot of Fives this arc.
Yeah, you've been saying that since Fives first showed up, so I'm ready.
This is the Fives arc I've had a couple seasons
to get ready.
Yep, this is the Fives arc that I've been talking about this entire show. We're here, and I'm so excited, and I can't be happier for it. So. But that's all I have. I mean, like we said at the beginning, this is just a big setup episode. I mean, it's cool, but not a lot happens.
Yeah.
So, score it up, Chris. What do you think?
I was born to. I'm about to. I'm giving it an 8.5. I thought it was... I really liked it. I thought it was a strong... episode coming back. I immediately was like, ooh, the animation's better. And, you know, it has a relentless tone to it. And, like you said, not a lot happens to it, but it's setting a really episode 3 tone. So, yeah, 8.5, solidly great episode.
Well, for me, this episode's a lot of setup, but I still love it. There's a lot of Order 66 feels going around on here.
Yeah.
And I'm just so sad to see my sweet baby Tup going through this because he's precious to me and I love him. And poor Fives having to watch his friends suffer. But there's just so many good visuals in this. And it's just a fun little setup. Actually, I shouldn't say fun. It's a dark little setup episode for the arc. And it's only going to go up from here. And I purposely scored it a touch lower because I know where we're going. And I know how up it's going to go.
That's what I'm saying. Your 8's is a good sign, actually, for me, because it means that we're going uphill after this.
Oh, yeah. It just gets better and better. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. All I can say is we're going to see a clone bar, Chris. Clone bars where they drink and talk to ladies.
Oh, I thought you meant like a power bar or something. I was like, ew.
No, we're going to see a clone cantina.
Silent Green is made of clones.
No. We're going to get to see a clone cantina. And it's actually one of my favorite scenes in Clone Wars. I love it. I love it so much. There's a drunk clone that's just dancing.
In the galaxy where Hope would want to be, it would be the clone cantina.
Oh, man, I love that scene. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Shades of Reason. Take it away, Chris.
All right. It's Paul C. Kelly this week. Mandalore's in trouble.
Oh, no.
No. I'm actually heading to MegaCon in Orlando, Florida in a couple weeks. Oh, yeah. And I almost was going to do a Mandalorian theme with my cousins.
Actually, Paul got me a really nice gift while he was there. He got me a little magnet. Is it Paul? Let me make sure it's Paul before I say this, because that would be bad if it's not Paul.
It is.
I'm 99.
It is. I saw the picture.
All right, cool, cool, cool. I just want to make sure, because I couldn't remember it offhand. But he got me a little magnet, and it has Captain Rex on it, on a box of cereal, and it says Captain Rex, when it has Rex with, like, a spoon, and it looks cute. I can't wait to get it. Thank you,
it's
Paul.
It's basically Captain Crunch themed.
Yeah, thank you, Paul, for getting that for me.
All right, and he says, I was going to be Jango Fett, Boba Fett. Oh, it was going to be Jango Fett, Boba Fett, Sabine Wren, and Pre Vizsla. Oh, yeah. I was surprised that they actually have a Pre Vizsla costume, where they do not have costumes for other EU characters that I think would be in more popular, like Hondo. Hondo costume would be really cool.
I've seen one before, and it was awesome. I was just like, whoa!
Even Rose from The Last Jedi does not have one yet, from what I see. Oh, no. It has to be the armor. People love that style. Oh, yeah. I guess Boba Fett would not be considered Mandalorian. Or would he?
Oh, no.
He was cloned on Kamino, so is he more Kaminoan? Guess that question would apply to all clones, but Boba was closest to Jango, who is from Mandalore. Oh, yeah.
You know, like, all the clones do say that Kamino was the homeworld. We saw that the opening arc of Season 3 with clone cadets and ARC troopers when Grievous and Ventress attacked, and they were like, Kamino's our home. We will protect our home. So we know that Kamino is their home planet. Now, when it comes to Boba, Boba's like, I am not a clone. I grew up naturally. Thank you.
But he is a clone. He's just a clone of his dad, not you know.
Yeah. Oh, candy. We haven't done candy in so long. I forgot about it.
What are we doing? Do you want to do? We forgot to decide before the show again.
What about the banana nada?
Oh, yeah. Let me find that.
So if you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats because he's dumb. And our friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It, sends us candy from all over the world because he's flight attendant. And the banana nada is from Brazil.
Banana.
We have
is
a lot of Brazil
no banana,
candy.
Though? Is it like a combination of banana and nada?
Banana nada. So no bananas.
Well, the first ingredient is banana, so...
It actually kind of smells like a banana, like a chocolatey, mild banana.
So yes, we have some banana.
Ooh. Oh, it has that powdery stuff on it.
It's not banana colored, it's chocolate colored.
Oh my god!
That's not what I thought it was.
Oh my god, that was not what I was expecting.
It's a very banana flavor. I thought it was going to be more chocolate, but it's all banana, but it looks like chocolate. It's like banana fudge, but looks like chocolate, but it's banana on the inside.
It's like banana.
Whoa.
It's like pure banana with like a brown sugar crust on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It's almost like the middle of it is like almost like a Fig Newton texture, like the
but it's
jelly
banana.
They put in a Fig Newton. Yeah.
And the banana part, it's dark in the middle.
Yeah, nothing about this is yellow, guys.
No.
Nothing is yellow.
No, this
unless
almost seems like
a
dessert you would be served somewhere rather than a candy bar.
Unless it's been in our box so long that it used to be yellow and it's not anymore.
No. I think it was mixed with, like, I think it's banana mixed with molasses is what I think is what's going on in the middle there. Mm. There's definitely some molasses going on in here. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sugar spiker for sure.
Thank you, Dario. We love you.
I will be seeing Dario in a few weeks.
I know. I'm so jealous.
He'll be driving up here.
Are you a hugger?
Me? Yeah, I'm a hugger.
Give him a hug for me.
Okay.
And I want you to go, this is from Hope, and you're going to hug him.
Do you do pats on the back? Do we do the hug and then the thump on the back? Is that a...
I
want it to be accurate, you know?
I've actually been told I give, like, because I'm not a big hugger. I only hug people that I'm really close to. And so when I hug a person, I hug them. And I've been told that if, like, hugging was an Olympic medal, I would win it. And so it's like a full, like, palm completely stretch open, holding their shoulder, like, completely holding them close to me, like, hug, I love you, because I'm not a hugger. So when I hug a person, they get hugged.
You mean it, yeah. No half-ass hugs from Hope.
No, because I'm not a... I used to be
no
like...
No half-ass
like
Hope hugs.
Yeah, because like in high school, I used to like just be like, I'm going to hug everybody and stuff. But, like as I got older, I'm just like, I don't like touching people. I don't know. I don't like touching people. I don't know at all. So I don't care. And like even acquaintances, I'm just like, hey, awkward hug. But like when I hug a person, I mean it because I don't hug people. So you better mean it when you hug Dario.
All right.
Dario, you let me know if he doesn't hug you.
Oh, boy. Oh, shit. He's listening, too. Yep.
Yep. That's all I know. And if he doesn't hug you, Dario, you leave me a comment in the Facebook messages. So I know. Well, that's all I have. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That is, okay, our website where we keep all the podcasts. Yeah, I know. Shocker. I know there's a lot of people still, you know, figuring out the whole .com thing, you know, so you want to. I remember the first time when our band had us. Quote unquote website way in the early days, because one of our bass player was a super computer nerd who worked in the industry, so he had us a website. But that we were on a radio show, they're like, so give out the address to your website. He's like, it's http://blah blah blah. I was just like, oh dear god, twotruefreaks.com. That's their warehouse full of podcasts, tons and tons and tons. By the time this comes out, I just did a new one with Scott Gardner. I'm not going to say what it is because it's a surprise. I think everybody will be surprised and very happy to see what we have cooked up for you. It was a really fun discussion. We have a Facebook presence. We have a Two True Freaks Facebook page and the Two True Freaks Cantina. You can join both of those and... the Facebook page will tell you when all our new shows come out, and then you can comment on them. And the Cantina is just general free-for-all, where freaks and freak listeners mix and compare war stories. We also are on Twitter, and our Twitter page, which is Two True Freaks, is run by Gene, the podcasting machine. Gene. Oh. I was confused. I didn't know if you were just gonna speak at all in knocks or.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
were communicating like the bunny rabbit did in Captain Kangaroo. In thumps. Except the bunny rabbit used to just beat his head against the floor to do it. But then again, it was a guy's fist, so it's the same thing. But. That's all I'm up to on the internet. What about you, Hope? Where can they find Hope Mullinax?
You can find me on Twitter at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter account. And you can also find me at Hope Mullinax on Twitter. And I'm also writing a fan fiction called Forces of Gravity on Archive of Our Own, which is AO3 for short. And it's called Forces of Gravity. It's a Thrawn fan fiction. And I'm currently working on a really big, super, uber big chapter. I've been writing it for 2 weeks, and it's still not done. So it's going to be a biggin'. But I'm also beta reading my best friend's fan fiction called Valkyrie Strike. And we're working on those two together. And she just uploaded the new chapter today. So if you like it, leave me a comment or give me a kudos, because kudos help people find it. And yeah, that's what I do in my spare time, is I write Thrawn fan fiction. Yay! Because I'm a trash fangirl and I can. So,
Better than a trash panda.
I am. I'm a raccoon of Thrawn. I'm like, oh my god, Thrawn trash. And I'm in it, and I'm just like, yes, blue.
You're eating blue up that trash like Gascon.
I mean, he's gonna blue me like I want to blue him. I love the blue. Actually, I have a really cute... I changed the backgrounds on my phone, and it's the Ghost Crew as Loth Cats from Ripple Fall, and it's so cute because there's like a Callus cat like arguing with Zeb, and there's an Ahsoka and a Rex cat, and like the Sabine cat is covered in paint, and even Chopper's a little orange kitty, and he's just like destroying a thing, and it's just so perfect. Like the background of my phone is Lock Cats and the Ghost Crew, and I love it.
My neighbor cat kind of has a Chopper color scheme on him now that I'm thinking about it. I might start calling him Chopper.
Yeah,
he's kind of a feisty one too.
That's my lock screen in the background of my phone. There was an awesome montage in the new Thrawn comic. It was issue 4, I want to say, but it's how he became an admiral, and it has the Chimera symbol that's on his ship in the background, and that's my lock. That's my background of my phone. But my lock screen is Loth Cats. It's actually kind of funny. I was talking
Your
to a
loth
person.
Screen?
My loth screen. But I was actually talking to a customer, and she was like, yeah, I like Rebels and Clone Wars. And I was like, oh, cool, I like it too. Here's my tattoos. Here's my phone. Here's the background of my phone. And she was like, oh, you really like it. And I was like, yeah. Like, you don't understand what you just walked into, honey. So, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for next week. That's when the shit hits the fan, and we're going back to
Kamino. I'm kind of excited for this whole season, tell you the truth.
This entire season's like this. I think you're gonna really enjoy this. These like 13 episodes.
It's gonna go by so fast.
Oh my god! I know.
It's gonna be the summer.
Yeah, the summer of season 6. This summer of season 6. I like that.
Yeah.
The only thing there's one arc that I'm like, this is fine. Thank God Embo shows up.
Embo, yay.
Yeah. So I'm looking through all the episodes now, and I'm just like, yeah, this season, yeah.
Even with
yeah.
no Greavy, I'm looking forward to it.
It's a good one. I think you're going to love it, Chris. You're going to love it. All right, guys. See you next week.
We will be back.
Bye. 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 I don't know what I'm doing.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2 True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2 True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2 True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email 2TrueFreaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2TrueFreaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2 True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2 True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for 2 True Freaks. Dumbass. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2 True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
All right, children. The lights are out and the party's over. It's time for me, Dr. D, to start running and say goodbye for a little while. And I know you're gonna miss me, so I'll leave you with this. You know that big ball of radiation we call the sun? Well, it'll burst you into flames if you stay in one place too long. That is if the static don't get you first. So remember, even if you're dusted, you may be gone. But out here in the desert, your shadow lives on without you. This is Dr. Death Defying, signing off.